Mirror, mirror.
I want you to look into that mirror. And I want you to focus on what you see in it. Alright? I want you to look at it intently. Alright. So, what do you see in that mirror? You can see yourself, obviously. Can you see others seeing you? Alright. Stop looking at the mirror. Put the mirror down. Now, I want you to write me three things that you saw in that mirror. Three things that you remember. I'm going to give you just another minute. Okay. You should have three things that you focused on, three things that you remember seeing. Now, is there anything that you didn't see in that mirror? You didn't see your heart. You didn't see your salvation. You didn't see the Holy Spirit. You didn't see love living in you. You didn't see His Word. You didn't see yourself the way God sees you. What you saw in the mirror was an image. An image is a reflection. It's a copy of yourself. It's a picture in your mind. It's a mental picture. Can you picture right now by closing your eyes what you saw in that mirror? You can't. You know why? Because the Word says when we look into that mirror and we walk away, we forget what we saw. So you may remember a part of your image, whatever you focused on, but you did not see the spiritual things that God would have you to see. Genesis 1:26. You don't have to turn there, just make a note of it. It says that we are made in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image. We are made in the image of God, therefore we are spiritually made in the image of God. Our physical body is to house our spirit, which is formed with the hands, the back, the face, the feet, all the attributes and the parts of God. Genesis 5 and verse 3 tells us the way we are formed in the natural. It tells us that the first Adam was perfect. But it tells us that by the time Adam had his child, this is what it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and they called his name Seth. Seth was born into the image of God. We are born into the image of God, but we are also born in the image of man, which was separated from God. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now, that means right now in the present, we see through a glass darkly, or we can look in a mirror, but we do not get the whole picture. But then when we see Him, we will see Him face to face. And now we only know what we see in the natural, which is a part of us. But then we will know even totally and completely what we are in the spirit realm. So you see, when we look into a mirror, we see our hair, or we focus on our eyes, or we focus on makeup, our smile, our teeth, whatever. But we don't focus on the things that we have spiritually because we are not made to do that. And until we learn to do that, we never see the part of us that God would have us to see. Now, God would have us, and God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, after we accept Jesus, we should be growing, continually progressing towards the image of Christ, which is the total completeness in the spirit realm. James 1 and verse 24 tells us exactly where we started out this morning. So we'll read 24 first. When a man looks into a mirror, he beholds himself, forgets, and goes his way, and immediately forgets what he saw in the mirror. Why I had you look in the mirror was so that we could see how and what God is saying here in James 1, 22, 23, and 24. He says, whoever looks in verse 25, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful doer, hearer, but a doer of the work, he shall be blessed in what he sees. The law of liberty is something we cannot see. The law of liberty is a spiritual law that we have been set free. The law of liberty sets us free from the law of sin and death. The law of liberty brings us life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Verse 24 is what we did this morning. We looked at ourselves in the mirror, and immediately when we put the mirror down, we forgot what kind of a person we were. The comparison in here, in James 1, 22 to 25, is, if you are a doer of the word, in verse 22, and you do not hear it, you are deceiving yourself. When you look in the mirror, you see everything and how it is, but when you walk away, you forget what you saw. So James here is comparing that to, if you hear the word and do not do it, you are like a man that sees his image in the mirror. The same likeness being, if you hear and don't do, it's going to be the same as what you see, you forget. So what you hear and don't do, you're going to forget. You're going to forget who you are and what you have. How do we know this is so? Jesus gives an example in Luke chapter 6. And if we do not see ourselves the way God sees us, if we do not pay attention to the word, then we become, as Jesus says in verse 46, why do you call me Lord? Lord, and don't do the things that I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you who he's like. He is like a man which built a house, dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, but it could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. Therefore, one who is founded on the rock is one who hears and does the sayings of God. He is the rock. Jesus is the rock. He that hears and does not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Therefore, and just as if you look in a mirror and you walk away, if you hear the word and you do not do it, you are heading for disaster city. You have no foundation on which to build, and we need that foundation. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. We, with open face, in other words, with a full view of ourselves, behold or see ourselves in a mirror as in the glory of the Lord. We are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are only changed as we follow the Word of God. We have a spiritual change when we are born again. But if we do not continue on in the Word, we begin to lose and we begin to fall back. Romans 8:29 says, God has predestined us to conform into the image of Christ. Each time we stand on the Word of God, we are becoming more formed into the image of God. Each time we hear that Word and we do it by standing on it and saying it, we are conforming to His image. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And the words that I speak, they're His words. We've got to get ourselves to the place that we realize that we and the Father are one. When I look into that mirror, when you look into that mirror, we cannot see ourselves in the natural. We must see ourselves in the spirit realm the way God sees us. God makes no failures. the only makes victorious one. When we look into that mirror, we want to see who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. Now, images change. Sometimes to the good, sometimes from the good to the better, sometimes from the good to the bad, sometimes from the bad to the good. So one of the ones that we're going to discuss this morning in images changing from good to better is Abraham. Abraham was a moon worshiper. Abraham had money. He was in a wealthy family. He was among his friends and family. But he made a covenant with God. And when he made that covenant with God, he became the father of the righteous, meaning us. Therefore, when Abraham would look into his mirror, he would not see an old man, but he would see Abraham, the father of many nations. When Sarah looked into that mirror, she did not see an aged person who could not produce a child. She saw herself as the mother of many nations. She saw herself having a child. Why? Because they went from the normal, the natural, to the better or the good. Another example, the disciples. The disciples were fishermen. But once they met Jesus, they became fishers of men. Not only did they catch fish, but they left the fish to catch men, leading them to follow Christ. Acts chapter 2, we have 3,000 who were saved one day from preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. What did Peter do? He led people to the Lord. He became from a fisherman to a fisher of men. That's what we need to be. Sometimes we see things that we don't even realize, and sometimes we see things that we change us, that change us, and that's what happened with Abraham. That's what happened with the disciples. Now, interesting thing here, which we'll touch on later, is we have Paul, the disciple Paul, who never walked with Jesus, who never ate with him, who never saw him, who never heard him preach. And yet, once he met the Master, he was totally changed. He had no problem with that whatsoever. So we have some people who see themselves where they don't see them. For example, picture yourself as Samson. You look into your mirror and you see yourself as this strong man. You see yourself as a judge of Israel for 20 years. But then you begin to see something in your mirror that is not of God that will begin to change you. And if you begin to look in that mirror, we can get vain. We can become proud. We can say, man, I'm pretty sharp, whatever. That doesn't matter in the natural. What matters to us is how we are in the spirit realm. So Samson, as he's looking, yeah, I'm strong. Yeah, I'm powerful. But he begins then, turn with me to Judges chapter 14, and we'll just look briefly at what changed Samson's image. Judges 14, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman, a Philistine woman. And he came up and he told his mom and dad, and he said, I've seen a woman that I want. Get her for me. His father and mother said unto him, we're not supposed to marry Philistines. Isn't there one among our own people that you should marry? And Samson said to his dad, get her for me. She pleases me well. She is right in my eyes. Samson is looking to his own eyes as to what he wants. If we look to the things that we desire, we begin to desire the wrong things. Here he had been a judge of Israel for 20 years, but now he is seeing something different. He's seeing something that he shouldn't have. And if we look in the mirror long enough, we will see something that God does not want us to have. So Samson, of course, went into her. We know what happened to his first beloved, his wife, got him in trouble. But then years go by and Samson comes upon Delilah, who is really his downfall. So when Samson sees Delilah, what is she again? A Philistine. We have to remember that when we see Philistines, just as Egypt is a type of the world, Philistine is a type of the enemy. The Philistines were always enemy of God. The Philistines, we know that Goliath was a Philistine. He was strong, he was powerful, he was big. We know that Philistines are going to always represent things that are contrary to the word. Big things that will lure us away and that will try to make us draw back from God. Now, Samson, we know, was changed, and we know what happened to Samson, his end. Why? Because he got his eyes off the image of God that he was onto his own desire. Another question I would ask you is, can your image change by what you hear? Well, when you look in the mirror, you're not moved by what you hear. You're moved by what you see. However, your image can change, your spiritual image can change by what you hear. First Kings 17. We know that Elijah was a powerful man of God. We know that he moved. We know that what he spoke came to pass. We know that he did many miracles in his life. We know that he spoke the words of God. And yet we have in 1 Kings 17, after coming through the fire, after coming through the famine, after coming through the fact that there was a famine in the land, he called forth fire down from heaven and God moved. Then in chapter 17, Elijah gets a message from Jezebel. And when he gets a message from Jezebel, as we're proceeding on in 1 Kings, he decides he can't do it anymore, and so he runs. The man of God, as he would look into his mirror, he would see himself as a powerhouse for God. What I say comes to pass. Elijah thought nothing of himself. He always thought of God until he heard something that changed his image to look from God to himself. And when he heard the message that Jezebel said, I am going to get you this day, you're going to be dead, in chapter 19, he rose and he ran for his life. The powerhouse for God now becomes a wimp, now becomes full of fear. You can be changed, your image can be changed from one of great faith to one of great fear just because you hear something. So Elijah runs for 40 days and 40 nights. Finally, he finds a cave. In that cave, he's resting and catching his breath, and God says to him, come to the head of the cave, come to the mouth. Elijah goes to the mouth of the cave, and what happens? First of all, there's an earthquake that shatters the mountains all around him, breaks him into pieces. His mountain is the only one where he's standing. Then, after the earthquake, there is a fire. The fire begins to rage all around everything and covering everything. And then after the fire, we have what? We have a still, small voice. The tornado comes first, then the earthquake, then the fire, then a still, small voice. When you look into that mirror, there is going to be a still, small voice that will speak to you and say, this is who you are. This is what you can do. This is what you have. But when you look at what you see in the mirror, you are going to see lack. You are going to see symptoms. You are going to see age. You are going to see all those different. We don't age with God. Do you know that? We do not age. We never grow old. Never get wrinkly, never get fat, we never get anything. We're just complete in God. And so this is the thing, but when we look in the natural, we're going to see the wrong stuff. So we can't be moved by that. It's costly. If your image changes because of what you hear, it's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost you big. Because what happened with Elijah? God said, all right, now that you're hearing my voice again, go anoint Elisha, because Elisha is going to take your place. You see, when God gives us something to do and we don't do it, or when we fail in that, when you are given much, you are accountable. for much. And so whatever God gives us to do, we need to do. So what happens then is we have Elijah, who now has to go anoint a prophet that he really doesn't want to take his place. And this is why, when you read in chapter 19, he comes to anoint Elisha. Elisha is in the field plowing, and as Elisha is in the field plowing, Elijah just walks by and throws his cape or his mantle on Elisha. He doesn't say, "Oh, you mighty one of God, you've been anointed to take my place, and now I'm going to teach and train you." He just throws it on. Elisha knows what that mantle means. And so Elisha says to him, "Let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father." That expression is an expression that means, "Let me wait until they die, and then I will come and follow you." Mm. And Elijah says to Elijah, "I didn't call you. It wasn't me that called you. I didn't want to do this in the first place. God made me. God told me to come." And so Elijah, in verse 19, Elijah departs from Elisha, and he finishes his plowing. He passed by, casts his mantle on him, leaves the oxen, and he runs after Elijah. Elijah just keeps on walking and said, "Do your own thing. I didn't call you, God did." You see, when God calls you, you begin to take on a different image.
Yes.
Now, sometimes that image can take a lot of years to conform to the image of Christ or conform to the image that God wants you to. Elisha became a servant of Elijah. He washed his hands. He washed his clothes. He cooked his food. He walked with Elijah. He did nothing. Elisha is a comparison of you and I and the disciples when they walk with Christ. When Christ was alive, the disciples served him. They served with him. But they didn't do any mighty works until he was gone. You and I don't do any mighty works until we are filled with the Holy Spirit, until we have Jesus in us. Then we begin to move out and do the works. So, to change from the position that God has called you on your own is a costly position. It costs Elijah a great thing. Now, changing your image on your own, Elijah did that out of fear. He was afraid because of something he heard. We can decide we don't like the image that we see, and we can begin to change it on our own. And in the natural, we all do that. If we're heavy, we want to lose weight. If we don't wear makeup, we think makeup will make us look good. And in the natural, we need to do what we need to do because we are representatives of Christ. However, if we are not called of God to do that, and we begin to move in the wrong thing, we are making the image of ourselves changed. And who is an example of that? 1 Kings 3, verses 7 and 9. We have our friend Solomon. Solomon, who was called and ordained of God to take his dad's place. So Solomon, in verse 7, says, "Oh, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father. But I'm like a child. I don't know how to handle being a king. I don't know how to make the right decisions. I don't know any of the stuff that I should know, like I should know it. What do you want me to do?" And the servant is in the midst of your people that you've chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered because there are so many of them. Therefore, he says, "Please give your servant an understanding heart or a hearing heart." When you looked into that mirror this morning, you do not see a hearing heart. You may have noticed your ears that hear naturally. What your ears hear in the spirit realm will drop down into your heart, and your heart becomes a hearing heart. So Solomon says, "Give me a hearing or an understanding heart that I can judge your people, that I can discern between good and bad." Or who can judge of this many people? And the speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this. And so God says to him, Solomon, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Because you have asked nothing for yourself. You've not asked for a long life. You've not asked for riches. You've not asked the life of your enemies. Mm-hmm. But you have asked for understanding to discern or to rightfully decide judgment. Mm-hmm. When you walk in the image of God, when you have a hearing heart, when your spirit man lines up with God, you are not going to ask for a long life. Mm. Why? Because you know it's part of the covenant. You already have it. You are not going to ask for riches for yourself because He has already made you rich. You are not going to ask for the life of your enemies because you walk in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Love forgives. Mm-hmm. You are not going to ask for yourself anything but, Lord, I need to know your word and understand it, that I can rightly divide it between good and bad and the things that happen in my life. So Solomon receives from the Lord not only those things, but look in verse 12. I've done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Your spiritual image, you're going to get what you ask for spiritually. Mm. You better be asking for the right things because that will work to the negative or the positive. Mm-hmm. God says, I have done according to your words, and He's going to give you what you say. Mm. I have given you a wise and an understanding heart. There was none like you before, and there are none after you that will be like you. And I've not only given you that, but I have given you riches and honor, so that there shall not be any king as rich or as honorable as you are. Mm-hmm. And now comes the clincher. Verse 14. If, you better circle if. Mm-hmm. If you walk in my ways to keep my commandments and my statutes, as David your father did, then I will lengthen your days. Now what happened in the end of Solomon's days? Solomon had so many wives and so many concubines that he couldn't even get to them all in 1 year, even in 2 years. Mm. And so his heart began to be changed. What he saw in that mirror was now what he saw in the natural. I'm Solomon. I'm king. I'm wise. I make the right decisions. I can have any woman I want. I can do whatever I want. But you cannot ever do what you want. It has to be in line with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon began to change his own image. Mm. He went from the things of God to the things that Solomon wanted. We can't ever go to the things that we want. Who is our example? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not my will, but your will be done. That has to be the inner image that we see. Lord, I am conforming to the image of Christ. It's not my will, but your will be done. Another one that we have who is changing your own image, who changed his own image and found out it was very costly. What comes to your mind? Saul. Mm-hmm. Saul, of course, is another good example. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we won't go into those verses especially, but you're taking notes. Verses 21, 24, and 25. He was the king God chose. He was the king the people wanted. They wanted a king. God said, you don't need a king. They said, we want to be like everybody else. Your inner image will change if you want to be like everybody else. You are not like everyone else. You are made in the image of God, and that's what we have to conform to. Then we have the rest of the scriptures in chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, 8 and 9. 13 to 15, 20 and 21. Saul deceived himself. When you get to the place, when you, and we are all at that place, we have been chosen by God to do what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. But when you begin to deviate from the plan, you begin to take on another image of yourself. Remember the scripture that we read in James 1, mm-hmm. where you look into a mirror and you see yourself briefly, but when you walk away from that mirror, you forget what you saw. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, and James makes that comparison between hearing the word and doing it. Saul heard the word, you're the king, mm-hmm. you're in charge. But Saul, first of all, deceived himself. Your image will change if you deceive yourself, and deceiving yourself will make your image change. Saul said, I've done what the Lord told me. I've been obedient. Samuel says, what do I hear then? I hear sheep bleating. I hear oxen. God told him to kill Amalek and the Amalekites. Do you know why? Because when Egypt was coming out, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, Amalek and his Amalekites attacked Egypt. And for that reason, because they attacked them coming out, God was one of them done. He said, I'm done with them. I'll wipe his name out of heaven. It will never be mentioned again. Saul did not fulfill that, yet Saul deceived himself into thinking, I've done what the Lord told me. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow fully what the Lord of God says, then if you only do the part that you want to do, and then what happens with that? Saul said, well, it was the people. The people said. No, if God gives you a commission, you can't give God an excuse. Your image cannot change to be influenced by other people. Your image cannot change to blame other people, because God has put you in charge of what God has given you to do. That's why no one else can fulfill what God has given you to do. Someone can be raised up to take your place, but then you will lose, just as Elijah lost with Elisha. An image change in the natural will be an image change in the spiritual. And an image change in the eyes of the Lord is fatal. So here we have an image change in Saul in the eyes of the people. He was no more a loving, stately king. He became a coward and a wimp. He became, in the eyes of the Lord, he was no more the vessel that God could use to lead his people. In the eyes of the prophet Samuel, Samuel wept for him all night long. And God said, stop it. Stop it. He brought this on himself. So in all these things, that image began to change. You see, you may not see the image change in yourself, but others will begin to see it. Mm-hmm. Others will begin to see a weakening, others will begin a pulling away, a turning away. But the one that's the most important is God will see that. Mm-hmm. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart or the spirit. Sometimes, when we look in the mirror, we're impressed by the image that we see. We think, hey, this is good, this is right, I really look good, I look great. But are we looking at the inside? Are we looking at the necessity of things that need to change on the inside? A good example we have of that is Saul, who became known as Paul. Paul was a man of God. He was educated. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. He knew the prophets. He knew all of it. He thought he was doing right. When he looked into his mirror, he saw Saul, a member of the Sanhedrin, who was going to go after those radical Christians who were calling themselves from Jesus and wipe them all out. That was just a new sect that was coming up. They were rebellious. He was going after them. He looked in the mirror and he saw himself as righteous. He saw himself doing what he thought God wanted him to do. And yet, when he met Jesus, Acts 9:6, what does he say? He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? When he looked in that spiritual mirror, when he was knocked off that horse, when he was blinded naturally, he began to see in the spirit, and he said, Lord, and he called him Lord. Lord, that's his salvation right there, calling out on the name of Jesus. What will you have me do? What do you want me to do? And from that point on, he was led by the Lord and nobody else. Now, all these things are examples for us, and examples of things that we can get caught in different traps when we look into the mirror. But now, I'm going to ask you to, if you're taking notes, write this down. Mirror, mirror, what do you see? In other words, when you look into the mirror, you see yourself in the natural. What does the mirror, who would represent the spiritual thing of God, what does that mirror see in you? David, now the Philistines are gathered together. Who are the Philistines? Remember, the Philistines always represent someone who is going to attack the things of God in you. Mm. Who are the Philistines? The Philistines are gathered themselves together against the army of God. Now, we have David. I'm just going to condense this whole chapter 17, so just follow along with me. First of all, what did the mirror see in Goliath? Physically, they saw a strong man, a tall man, almost 10 feet tall, a big man, a man who was powerful in word, a man who was filled with bravery because of his size, and he knew it, a man who was proud. What did David see? David, through the mirror, looking out at the mirror of Goliath, saw a man shaming and disgracing the army of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Mm-hmm. Who does he think he is to challenge the armies of the Almighty God like that? Mm-hmm. What did the army see when they looked through the mirror at Goliath? The army saw him too big, too strong, and they were filled with fear. What did the Philistines see? The Philistines saw him as their champion. We got it made. As long as we got Goliath on our side, nobody can stand against Goliath. How did Goliath see himself? Besides being big and powerful, he saw himself undefeatable. David sees him again as a man out of covenant that needs to be taken down. All right. What did the mirror see in David? First of all, we have Eliab, his brother, who was in fear himself, as was the army. We see Eliab, who is resentful of David and sees him as a lowly shepherd boy. What'd you do with the few? Who'd you leave those few sheep with anyway? What are you doing here? I know what you did. You just came down here to see a battle. All this is guilt. We see Eliab, who is covered with guilt because he's full of fear. And so he resents the fact that David, who is years younger than he is, who is only a shepherd boy, not trained in the armor of God, not having proved his armor, having no armor, in fact, is ready to take on this giant for God. And so he's jealous as well. The army, how do you think the army saw David through that mirror? Crazy. Oh, here's a crazy kid. Who does he think he is? We've got swords, we've got spears, we've got helmets, we've got the shield, we've got all this stuff. And here's this kid with nothing? A rod, a staff? How did Goliath see him? Goliath saw him as a nothing. Goliath saw him as a stick. What am I, a dog, that you send a stick out after me? I'll cut his head off and feed him to the birds. Mm. Goliath sees David as defeated. Goliath sees the armies of Saul serving the Philistines. He sees them winning the battle where there was no battle. Mm-hmm. Now, David sees himself as a covenant man. When you look into a mirror, you must begin to realize that you are a covenant person with the Lord God Almighty. That is a covenant that can never be broken. It is a covenant of blood. It is him coming to your defense. It is him being your provider. It is Him being everything that you need in that covenant. But if you don't see yourself that way, you will be defeated. The army of Saul defeated themselves. You know why? When they looked in that mirror, in the background, they saw Goliath. And they saw themselves. Just like the Israelites were like grasshoppers. We can't do it. They defeated themselves, and you will defeat yourself if you see yourself defeated. Remember, God looks at your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The only way your faith is going to grow, not by people praying for you, but by hearing the word. The more words you hear, the more it goes into your spirit. When we confess the word of God over and over, it's not to change God's mind. God's mind is not going to change. God's mind is forever settled. His mind is settled in His word. He has called forth His word before the beginning, the foundation of the earth, and it is not going to change, but it is going to change things. If you believe, it's going to change. If you look at the wrong things in the mirror, you're going to be defeated. I'll never lose this weight. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never be healed. If you look to the symptoms, if you look to the situation, if you look to where you are now in the natural that you see in that mirror, you will never have your spirit man rise up and say, you are more than a conqueror. You are rich. You are wealthy. You are healed. You are prospering. You are healthy. You walk in divine health. You know why people don't walk in divine health? Because when we look in the mirror, we see we need a healing. Yes, God will give us a healing, but how much more glory God will get for us to walk in divine health, never have to have a healing. Oh, I don't know if I could ever get to that point. Then you're looking at the wrong thing in the mirror. You already have it. We have it. But if we don't claim it, it's not going to get it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. You have to believe who you are. You have to look past that natural. You have to look past the natural into the spiritual image of who you are and what you have. When you see the wrong things, when you look at the wrong things, when you hear the wrong words, they are going to affect your image in the spirit realm. How many Christians do we know? When the doctor says, oh, you have this, lose it. Big move in fear.
Oh, what am I
going to
do?
Oh, Lord, help me. God says, I already took care of it. But you're looking at the wrong image. You are to conform to the image of Christ. Did Christ ever say, oh, Father, I can't do this. This is too much for me. No, He didn't. Even when He was in the garden and the pressure was on Him physically and mentally, what did He say? Not my will, but your will be done. What is God's will? Healing, prosperity. What is prosperity? It's not just money. Prosperity is that we prosper in everything, spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, emotionally, marital, business, financial, ministry, every way possible, we prosper. We walk in divine prosperity. But you know what happens? We get so busy trying to hang on by our fingernails on the windowsill, just, oh Lord, just get me through. Oh, Lord, just get me through this. Oh, Lord, just get me through this. No, that's the wrong image. Lord, You've already gotten me through this. I am more than a conqueror. Devil, back off.
Yes.
But if you don't see that spiritual image that David saw himself in, you are not going to be a conqueror. And God cannot make us be something we do not believe for. So, now, images are something we see in mirrors. I'm going to ask you this. What do you see about yourself? How do you see yourself spiritually? You looked in the mirrors this morning, physically. But how do you see yourself spiritually? If you held up that mirror before your eyes again, what would you see in the spirit? what would you see within you spiritually? Would you see the strength of the Lord? Would you see the power of the Lord? Or would you see, help, help, I can't hold on much longer? Or just like the song says, and I don't know what the song is, Jerry, you probably just help me make it through to the end. Okay, if that's where your song is, that's what you're seeing yourself as. God is not going to help you make it through the end. He has already seen the end from the beginning. Amen. He sees you already through it and victorious for Him. 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. Paul is looking through his spiritual mirror. Mm-hmm. We would not have your ignorant brothers of our trouble that came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure. We didn't have any strength left. We even wanted to die. We didn't want to live anymore. You ever been there? If you haven't, you will be. Get your spiritual mirror geared up now. Paul then says in verse 9, but we have the answer. That word sentence should be answer. We have the answer to death or of death in ourselves. Where is your spiritual image? What is the answer within you that's going to answer whatever you see fighting you in the natural realm? Natural things follow a spiritual pattern. What you're going through in the natural has to be in the spiritual first. If the devil thinks that he can defeat you spiritually, it's going to manifest in the natural and have you fight. But what does the word say? We don't fight the way flesh and blood fights. We fight a spiritual battle. You can't fight a spiritual battle if you don't see yourself strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Paul says we have the answer of death in ourselves, and that answer was, don't trust yourself, but trust God, who raises the dead, who did deliver us, who does deliver us, and who will deliver us. That's what you see when you see your spiritual self in the mirror. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in God, knowing that you are a covenant partner with Him, knowing that He did deliver you, knowing that He does deliver you, knowing that He will deliver you, regardless of what you go through? That's how you have to get to the point where we see ourselves. You cannot look at yourself any other way than the way God sees you. People who are weak need to see themselves strong. Isn't that what the word says? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the lacking say, I have plenty. Why? Because that's what God sees. We have to see ourselves the way God sees us. When you are overwhelmed with things, the devil's going to keep us overwhelmed with things. He's got a plan. It isn't, oh, well, I'll just throw this in your path, and if you get past that, I'll throw another thing. Uh-uh. He throws all kinds of things, all different shapes and sizes, in our path at the same time. So what is the answer? The answer is you have to be fixed and established in the Word. Now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about this for a minute. I want you to picture in your mind's eye a big Bible with power coming out from behind it, like the sunshine behind the Bible. Then I want you to see yourself walking towards that Bible. But as you are walking, out of the lower part of your eye, you see boxes being thrown in your way. Big ones, little ones, round ones, square ones, long ones, to trip you up. You have to see yourself keeping your eye on that word as you go, stepping over, stepping around, pushing out of the way, but never taking your eyes off that word. That's your spiritual image. There is nothing that can stop you. Satan cannot stop you anyway except if you allow him to. And this is the thing. You've got to be so established on who you are in Christ that you will not be moved. Satan, give it your best shot. Throw anything you want at me because I am an overcomer. God has already made me an overcomer. Now you are an overcomer. That's what you have to see yourself as when you look in that mirror. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world blinds the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You cannot be blinded by what you are going through in this life, because the blinding is to stop you from being all that God has called you to be. There is nothing you go through that God hasn't already seen. There is nothing we go through that God hasn't already handled. There is absolutely nothing that God has not made that we cannot overcome. There is nothing the devil puts at us that we cannot overcome. We are more than conquerors. So do you see yourself defeated in what you're going through today? You can all get down, but you don't want to stay there. Remember David at Ziklag. David came back from the battle because the Philistines didn't want him to go and fight Saul. And so when they got to Ziklag, everything was burned and their wives and their children were gone. Everything was gone. And they sat down and they cried. There's nothing wrong with crying once in a while, but don't stay there. After a while, they kept crying. The others kept crying. What did they do? From their crying, they went into self-pity, and then they wanted to attack David and kill him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. See yourself the way David saw himself. Lord, what do you want me to do? Pursue? Overtake? Recover? Do it, man. Do it. Colossians 1. We'll start with verse 15 and work backwards. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Christ, verse 14, has redeemed us through his blood. He's forgiven our sins. Therefore, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Is that how you see yourself? Do you see yourself in your spiritual image delivered from darkness? Oh, I got to go through this. Here comes something else God's trying to teach me. Lie of the devil. God, Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us or moved us into, changed us into the kingdom of his dear son. God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and its power into the kingdom of his son Jesus, which is the kingdom of light, of life, of love, of victory. Verse 12. So we give thanks to the Father because he has made us, that word meet means able. He has made us able to take part in the inheritance that he has given us. What is the inheritance? The covenant. All the New Testament is the covenant that God has made us inheritors of. We're inheritors of the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news. Peace. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Complete. Lacking nothing. Wanting nothing. Have we gotten there yet? No. Are we working on it? Yes. We should be. Not only that, but we are strengthened with all power according to his glorious power. I don't have to do it on my own. It's his power. If I see myself in that spiritual mirror with his power, I can't be defeated. Unto all patience And whatever I go through, that word long-suffering means whatever I go through, I will not change. I am fixed and established with joy. Now, how many of us go through things with joy? Oh, well, you know, God's trying to teach me something here. I just can't be joyful, Lord. You don't know what I'm going through. God says, oh, yes, I did. Jesus went through everything you're going through. Don't you know it's already done? That's where the joy comes in. The joy comes in whatever I go through. I have the victory because he's made me victorious. Yes, I can go through it, but if I go through things, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to go through them a heck of a lot different than trying to grope my way through that tunnel. Jesus is our light, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, all pleasing. Pleasing to whom? Not ourselves. Pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, the only way you are going to grow into the spiritual image of God is to increase your knowledge of the Word. Because with God, all things work from the inside out. If you don't have it in there, it's not going to come out. With the enemy, everything works from the outside in. Why is that? Because if the enemy works from the outside, which is the natural, to try to get you defeated internally, spiritually, he wins. God works from the inside. Everything comes from the inside. Where'd you get your salvation? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Where do you get your healing? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Where do you get prosperity? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. See yourself the way God sees you. Increase always in the knowledge of God. Verse 9, Paul says, we do not stop praying for you. We desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is his will? His will is his word. But his will is also, you are victorious. Does it tell us anywhere that God has made us to be defeated? Does it tell us anywhere that God has made us to die before our time? Does it tell us anywhere that God doesn't love us, that he doesn't want the best for us? Does it tell us anywhere that he has not given us all spiritual blessings in every area? Yes, it tells us that. God has given us all things. But where are they? In the spirit realm first. And so the more you know about what's in the spirit, the more you believe about what's in the spirit, the more you're going to receive it. And we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 3:9. Your spiritual man needs to put off the natural man, the old man. You put on the new man. First of all, verse 9 says, you put off the old man with his deeds. These are actions, how you act on the word. The old man did not respond to the word, did he? The old man responded to present situations and circumstances, being overcome by them. The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of God that created him. What is that knowledge? I am all that he says I am, because I am a covenant partner with him. I am his covenant partner. That means my enemies are his. When I'm weak, he's my strength. I'm his child. I am of the house of Jehovah. I am of the household of faith. There is no better place for me to be. And Colossians 2:10 and 11. Actually, let's go with 9. In Christ dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we can form that, we can take those same words, not changing them, but we can truthfully say, in Christ's body dwells or lives or abides or is always present, the fullness of the Godhead. The love of the Father, the obedience of the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we have the Father's love? Absolutely. Are we obedient? Because God can't move if we move off of His Word. Therefore, are we obedient? And if we are obedient to stand on His Word, then we have the power. In Christ's body dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him. Therefore, if all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ's body, and you're complete in Him, what do you have? You have all the fullness of the Godhead in you. You have the love of the Father. You have the obedience that Christ has if you use it. And if you use it, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at yourself. Spiritually, look at yourself. How do you see yourself this morning? Do you see yourself as conquered? Or do you see yourself a conqueror? If I asked any one of us, we'd all say, oh, I'm saved. I don't have any doubt about that. What about the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, I have Him. I got the power. There's one thing you're lacking then. If God so loved the world that He saved you, and He did, and you're saved, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have the power, what's the missing ingredient? Obedience to the Word. You've got to obey the Word. You've got to say what the Word says. You've got to trust God. And if you don't trust God, you will never see it in its fullness. Trust God. That's what Paul did. That's what he had to do. All the spiritual blessings have already been given to you and I. God isn't going to give us any more. The price for salvation was paid 2,000 years ago. The price for healing came before salvation. The price for prosperity came with salvation. Everything's been given to us 2,000 years ago. Is it God's fault that we do not see ourselves the way He wants to see us? The way He sees us? No. Whose fault is it? It's ours because we're being blinded by the enemy. If you do not see yourself spiritually the way God sees you, then you are being blinded because God has already made you that way when He gave you Jesus. So if we do not see it, we're not going to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to close with one more scripture, and that's in Hebrews chapter 3. The Israelites, you see, natural things follow a spiritual pattern. Remember when Moses built the temple? It was patterned spiritually exactly after the tabernacle in heaven that was not made with hands that Jesus entered into when He took His blood. The Israelites are a type of you and I. God brought them out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. God brought us out of the world. But have we really gotten rid of the world that was in us? Question of the week. You see, you can bring, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but He couldn't take Egypt out of the Israelites. God brought us out of the world, but it's up to us to take the world out of ourselves. So, verse 17. With whom was God grieved 40 years? Those that sinned. All right? Those that sinned fell in the wilderness. Why did they sin? Verse 18. Because they believed not. Scripture tells us whatever is not faith is sin. They couldn't enter into His rest. Rest is the promised land. We have entered into the promises of God when we receive Jesus. If we are not realizing them to the fullest potential, we need to develop our faith in that area. Then He goes on in verse 4, there should be no division between chapter 3 and 4. Because of that, let us fear lest a promise, it doesn't say all the promises, it says even one. We should be concerned that we let even one promise of the covenant escape us. That we should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. What was the gospel? Covenant. God said, I'm taking you to the promised land. What is our covenant? Promises of God in the New Testament, under the covenant. Why didn't they succeed? Verse 2 says, they received the same word we did, but they didn't mix it with faith. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. What did we read in James 1, 22? If you look into that looking glass, that mirror, and you walk away, you forget what you saw in the natural. You forget what color eyeshadow you had on. You forget if you have a hair out of place. You forget if something's wrinkled. You may try to adjust it, but you forget about that. James says it's the same thing as hearing the word and not doing it, which is exactly the same thing that it's saying here in Hebrews 4. They heard it, but they didn't do anything with it because they could not believe. The word is the word, and the word doesn't change. So now, look into the mirror. The next time you look into the mirror, look at yourself in the natural, but look past the natural into the spiritual. Because it's the spiritual things that God looks at. God looks at the heart. Where are you? Yes, beauty is only skin deep. How many people are there who are Hollywood idols or movie actors that are beautiful, and yet they are so ugly inside that it's repulsive? God isn't interested in how beautiful we look outside. God looks right past that. And zeroes right into your heart and takes that spiritual mirror of his, and he zeroes in and he zeroes in and he zeroes in until he says, I see it. I see it. It's what I want. Now just go with what's in there, not what's on the outside. And that's what we have to do. Amen? Amen. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your mighty, magnificent word. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you that you do not look on the outside, that you look to the inside, that you look to who we are and what we have in you, that you have already given us. You've taken care of every need we can ever possibly have when we are saved. So, Father God, we thank you for that. Every need we have is met in every area of our lives, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.